Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres. Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan sitting in for Joe today, and I want to go straight to Kelly Tallant. Kelly, good afternoon to you.
Hi, how are you?
How are you, Kelly?
I'm good, I'm not good. I'm in hospital.
I'm going home tomorrow. That line isn't the best. Will we stick with it? I'm just trying to get the nod up here. You're in hospital at the moment, Kelly.
Yeah, I'm in Vincent Hospital.
Okay, I think we're hearing you a bit better now. And you have a rare lung disease.
Yeah, it's a really rare lung disease. So I go into hospital about 3-4 times a year and just require IV antibiotics for an infection. So this would be the first hospital admission this year. But last year I would have done about 4.
Okay, but it's what you're given to eat in hospital that has...
Yeah, the pollen, like the food that you're given here is so bad that I wouldn't even give it to my dog. Like the other day, I got a lasagna with what looked like mashed up peas inside it and with a side of mashed potatoes, and it looked like frozen veg that was like so cooked that the nutrition was like boiled out of it.
Okay, lasagna. I know people have a lot of ways in which to eat their lasagna, but that doesn't sound like the best one.
It was just like a big slob on a plate, like looking. I think my dog would reject it as well, and it hadn't been the first time. Like I do hospital admissions all the time in this hospital, so it wouldn't be the first time like where you'd be able to lift up a plate and the food would literally be stuck to the plate, or else it's just like in a slob of grease.
And of course, I mean, it's not the catering staff's fault that delivered to you, but would they have an apologetic look on their face when they'd put it down before you?
Not really. Like, I remember just the caterer came in, like, it's not their fault, like, they're just there for the food. He came in, he was like, you're not eating that? And I was like, would you eat it? And he just walked out of the room, he just didn't say anything.
Yeah, I mean, there have been reports about the amount of hospital food that is not eaten. Up to 49% of hospital food is actually food waste, they say. You think that's because people...
It's just the amount of money I spend in hospital is like, I'd spend at least, like, for, say, a two-week hospital admission, I'd spend about 200-250 euros on food alone because I just order takeaways because it's the only kind of food that would be edible.
So you order takeaways to your hospital bed?
So I order them and then I just go down to reception to collect them. Like, thankfully, I'd be well enough to walk around, but like other people wouldn't necessarily be well enough to walk around. But thank God I've got like apps on my phone where I can just order food and they just ring me when they leave the restaurant. So I just walk down to reception and collect it and just pay with their card.
Is there many people doing that, do you think?
A lot. Everyone I know who comes into hospital regularly would do that, where they just order food through their phones.
Would the food you'd be ordering be healthier than the food that you're being served in the hospital?
A bit more appealing. Like last night I got an Eddie Rockets, which was a little bit more appealing than a bit of slob on the plate.
Although I don't know, would Eddie Rockets be...
It's not necessarily more nutritional value, but it's a little bit more something that you'll eat. Like that could be the only thing you'll eat for the whole day.
Have you seen any improvement at all? As you say, you've had reason to be in hospital.
I actually looked at a photo. I looked at a photo that I put up on Twitter 4 years ago, and it was a skeddy ball nails, and I was appalled by the state of the food 4 years ago. And I was like looking at that photo only today. I was like, the difference 4 years later, like that. There's no difference.
I see here a report from August 2017. So what's that now? 3.5, coming up on 4 years ago. The HSE has hired a dietitian to help oversee improvements in the standard of food on offer at Irish hospitals for staff as well as patients. It says that the Department of Health is undertaking an effort to improve the quality of food at hospitals, and current minister, then former minister now, of course, Simon Harris, highlighted it as a priority in one of his first speeches upon taking over the role as Minister for Health. You say nothing has changed in the hospital you're in, at least.
No, I can't see any improvements at all.
Actually, I'm looking down at this report, Kelly, and it's saying that the study by HICWA, the Health Information and Quality Authority, found that 86% of the patients they spoke to were happy with how they were fed while in hospital, but they did identify a number of areas for improvement. 86% are happy, says this report, Kelly.
Well, what I would order, the only thing I'd be happy with would be the simple stuff to order, would be salad with eggs on it. That piece of food that I ordered you today was like a piece of slob.
Yeah, and I'm so you'd be so aware as well that when you're in hospital, your appetite might not be the best anyway. For you know, for some circumstances, so you might be even more sensitive to how food looks and tastes.
Yeah, like I haven't had much of an appetite in about 10 days because someone handed me that. I think that would be okay.
Okay, I'm afraid that line is breaking down on us again. If you want to hang on there, Kelly, we might get a better line for you. And I want to bring in Gillian McNulty. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Gillian, you also, unfortunately, have reason to spend some time in hospital.
Yeah, I have cystic fibrosis and, like Kelly, I attend symptoms at hospital. Now, last year I would have been quite ill and had to be in two admissions for almost 3 months each. And the food is absolutely appalling. I mean, it was so bad last April, May and June and July. I was in for those months and I would end up in tears most days, either at tea or lunch, even breakfast.
Okay. On the
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, talk me through the day then, food-wise, because you spent very long periods in hospital, which would be difficult anyway in any circumstances. But obviously, food, which, if I have memory from any time I had to be in hospital, is it's the one break in the day, so it's like something is happening, the food is arriving. But talk me through, what would be your typical breakfast?
Well, patients on the CF ward do have a bit of a choice, because our calories are so, so important. People with cystic fibrosis need a high-calorie, high-fat diet. So we're allowed a choice, which we're kind of very lucky. So we're given, each evening, we're given a sheet for our choice of breakfast or lunch. Breakfast comes in at about 7:30, and you could have cereal and toast or boiled egg. I'm allowed a boiled egg because I'm in renal failure, so I can't have cereal or milk. So I'm allowed a boiled egg and toast. Now, for instance, most days, like they bring in your breakfast, your toast would be stone cold or the boiled egg would be cold. The tea would be lukewarm. So straight away, like you're starting off bad. Then lunch, same thing, like your lunch could come in. If it was any way edible, it will not be warm. But most days I just took a look at it and just cried. You know, you'd order chicken and you could literally bounce it off the wall. The potatoes would be lumpy and cold. One day I'd ordered stew. I can remember particularly that I'd ordered a lamb stew, which is actually really nice. The stew in here is beautiful. But because I'm on a renal diet, I'm very restricted on vegetables and stuff like that. And literally, like, the plate was about a small spoon of stew and the rest was carrots and peas. And it's just like, I can't eat this. And for the bit of stew that I got, it wouldn't fill me. And then tea comes, and it's the same thing. They get the wrong order, and then it's like, tough, well, sorry, the kitchen's closed. So, you know, most days my brother ended up bringing me in a takeaway, which isn't ideal, but it was better than nothing. I mean, at one stage when I was in last year, my weight dropped to 38 kilos. Like, I was really, really ill and really, really skinny.
38 kilos? What height are you, Gillian?
I'm 5'2.5".
So you were, that's very, very low weight.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, I was very ill, but the fact that the food was so bad as well, I couldn't eat.
And was this something that was discussed with your medical team, the fact that you were finding it difficult to eat the food that was being presented to you?
Yeah, they all knew. And to be honest, I actually asked to speak to the managers from the kitchen, and they came up to me, and they came up three or four different times and said, look, we'll change things, you know, and they brought up new menus and asked me to pick what patients should be getting. We discussed it in length one day for nearly 2 hours. And things initially changed, but like within a couple of weeks, things were just the very same. Your food was cold. The food that they were bringing, just one look at it and you'd almost be sick. It was just, you'd get spaghetti bolognese, which I actually don't eat anything with mince here because it just looks like cat food. And there's grease all over the place. You order, say, spaghetti bolognese, and you get bolognese with fusilli pasta, for instance. You don't actually get spaghetti, you know. So I ended up having to order dry spaghetti on its own, or rice, because that's all I could eat, because you couldn't eat anything else.
Let me, I think Kelly's back on. I think we have you on a better line. Kelly, can you hear us now?
Yeah, hear me.
What did you get for lunch today?
I got an egg salad.
How was that?
It wasn't delicious. There was like a turkey slices on it that literally looked like just really slimy. I can't even describe it, like jelly hanging off it. Right. I have now a dietitian coming up to me today just to give supplements, just to keep me going for the next few days. If I'm going to be here for the next few days, just to give some sort of nutrition, because I haven't been able to touch the food.
And again, do your doctors know that you're having this issue then?
Oh yeah, they do. Sure, like the last time I've been here, I had the same issue. Feels like cooked.
I'm so sorry, Kelly. Kelly, I'm so sorry. We're really having trouble with that line again. We'll see if we can sort it. I think Gillian is still on the line. Are you still there, Gillian?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
What Kelly is saying, they're very, very familiar to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been attending Vincent's for almost 30 years, and it's never changed. I mean, it really is a disgrace what patients are handed up. Especially patients that are really sick and need proper nutrition. You're not getting it here. The veg are frozen, and half the time they're boiled so much that every ounce of nutrition is going to be gone out of it.
Yeah, well, I don't think frozen is an issue there at all, because I think frozen actually maintains nutrition in veg, but I suppose, yeah, overcooking might.
Overcooked. It's really, really bad.
And I think it's fair to say that this is an issue. And as we said there from that report that was from 2017, this is an issue right across the hospital system. You know, with some honourable exceptions, but this is something that people joke about. But I suppose it's no joke if, like yourself or like Kelly, you have reason to. This is your only source of nutrition for long periods of time.
Yeah, and I would be used to, when I come into hospital, there's a small shopping centre across the road. I could go over and get my lunch or my tea, whatever. But last year, during April, May, June and July, there was restrictions with COVID. So we weren't allowed to leave our rooms. We weren't allowed visitors into the hospital. So you're relying on family or friends to drop food at the door and then just go. You know, like my friends did bunch together and they all got me Just Eat vouchers and stuff like that. They were amazing. So I had enough money to be able to get takeaways. And my brother brought me in a lot of food. But there's so many people that don't have money to be able to afford takeaways, because it actually really adds up. I think I spent €900 when I was in here for the couple of months on takeaways so that I wouldn't starve to death. And that's not right.
I wonder, is this an Irish, particularly Irish issue, or is this a universal problem with hospital food around the world?
I've seen people around the world, like I have friends from every corner of the world with cystic fibrosis, and, you know, you would see some of the hospitals. Now, some places are amazing, but there's others that it's pure slop that patients are being handed. And something has to give here, because they're not thinking of patients. It's not right.
Stay there, Gillian. I've got Hannah on another line. Hannah, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
It's not just adult hospitals, you're saying?
No, unfortunately, it's the same in children's hospitals. Unfortunately, I've had to spend time in both Tala and Crumlin with my son, and the food is just vile, really, to be perfectly honest. I know that's a strong word, but it's just really substandard. You would never be offered a piece of fruit. I actually had to go looking for a piece of fruit. You know, you'd never see a piece of fruit coming from anybody. Just various rehashings of minced, soggy waffles, disgusting pieces of bacon, just greasy, just really substandard food when you think that there are young children in there trying to recover from various ailments. And yeah, it's just really disappointing and not good enough, really.
I suppose that the one of the issues here is that it's a massive catering operation, obviously, to feed for however many hundreds or thousands, you know, of patients every day that have to get their food hot, hopefully, at the same time.
Go on,
Hannah.
No, I was going to say we rarely saw any hot food coming in. This was both pre-COVID and during COVID, and unfortunately the experience was no different. It just, I suppose, really, when you think of what food is nutritious, I mean, I understand the logistics in creating so many meals for so many people must be very, very difficult and very, very complicated, but it shouldn't be too hard to get healthy meals to and nutritious meals to people who are recovering, be they adults or children. I mean, they're there to recover. So if you're serving them a couple of greasy rashers and a soggy waffle that's been sitting in a carton for about 2 hours, then you're not promoting recovery. Like, and what they want people out of hospitals as soon as possible and recovered, and they should be providing food that gives people vitamins and minerals and the nutrients they need, you know, not the slop that is given.
Yeah, and of course, if your child is in hospital, you're in hospital as well. Basically, you're stuck there, so you can't be bringing in nutritious meals from the kitchen
like
at home.
No, like we did. You know, we used to try. Thankfully, if I had anything in the freezer, we would bring in what we could. You know, and I know it's the same for babies. I had a friend who was in Crumlin recently, and she was just given like these jars of baby food. And I know it must be very, very difficult for the hospital to arrange baby food, but you know, it's just. Yeah, I just don't think it's good enough. Like, we used to just stock up on breakfast and get cereal and toast and then hope for the best. You know, sometimes we would just end up having plain pasta because what else was on offer was just, you know, you wouldn't eat it. As the other lady said, I wouldn't give it to my dog. And I don't know who the 86% of people are saying they were happy with the food. I'm sure that survey was given to them on their way out of the hospital. And at that point, you're just so relieved to go home. You don't want to complain about anything at that point.
Indeed, yeah. I'm just looking at that report again. One of the issues was that there was very little detail about food choices. In many cases, meals were described as chicken or fish with no further detail about how the meat was cooked, whether it was fried, baked or stewed, or about side dishes such as vegetables or sauces. That all sounds like you're in a restaurant ordering, but that sounds very far away from the experiences that you've had and that Gillian and Kelly had. And there's also talk about, of course, the various, that's another whole issue, of course, choices for various ethnic, religious or cultural backgrounds. Stay there, Hannah. I've got Mary Cotter. Mary, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Katie.
You were just out of hospital.
I'm about 10 days home now after spending 5 days in James Connolly Hospital in Blanchardstown. And I was listening to the programme and I felt, well, it's only fair that I ask them would they like to hear my experience in James Connolly.
Because it's very different.
It is different. It is really, really different. Now, if my family were listening to this show, I don't know whether they are or not, they would say, good God, sure, my mother's the most fussy person about her dinner.
Right, Mary.
And I am. So it isn't easy to please me.
Right.
But I must say that my experience in Connolly was good. I wouldn't say I was in a 4 or 5 star hotel, but it was good. Every day you got a choice. And I just give two examples of a dinner. First of all, breakfast was, I think, the usual, a choice of cereal or a boiled egg.
Right.
That was okay. I don't go for cereals that much, and I took a hard boiled egg and I took toast, and that was fine. But at dinner time, I thought, oh God, what am I going to do? I've never eaten food in a hospital before. And because normally my family would be able to bring me in alternative stuff. But two examples. The first meal I got was ham and vegetable, very tasty little vegetable, and two little pats of very tasty mashed potato. And the ham was very tough, now, to be honest. So I thought, oh God, this is what it's going to be like. But the next day then I got roast beef, and I would only use fillet of beef in my house. But I got roast beef that was tender and tasty and really nice. And on two occasions in the evening meal, I got a salad as good as I would make myself, a very mixed salad.
Wow.
Now, desserts were usually ice cream and jelly. I don't eat jelly, but I would have enjoyed the little ice cream. But then I was diagnosed with diabetes. And when she came with the ice cream, she said, oh, your ice cream. And I said, no, I can't have it. I have diabetes now. And she said, well, wait a minute. So she went off and came back with a bowl of delicious fruit salad.
Wow.
So. And I noticed other people in the room with me. And if they didn't like what they got, you know, they weren't in the humour, I didn't think I'd ordered that. They'd say, well, do you know what I have? Would you like that? They couldn't have been nicer. They couldn't have been nicer or more caring. Not only the catering staff, of course, the nursing staff were excellent and the carers. They really were. The hospital, if you have to go into hospital, try and get into Conley.
Right, okay. That's a fantastic ringing endorsement from you there, Mary. And obviously, so I suppose the word is it can be done. It's not an impossibility.
It can be done. So I would love, I don't know whether one can research that, I would love to know how one hospital like Conley can produce a quite nice little dinner or evening meal, and why other hospitals can't.
Okay, I think we might have found another hospital that can. Bear with us. Seamus Downey, good afternoon.
Kieran, how are you doing? How are things?
You were in Tullamore Hospital.
I was in Tullamore Hospital for, I'd say, probably about 6 weeks of the last 8 weeks.
And you had no issue with the food there?
No, it was lovely. I used to I'd wake up in the morning waiting for it. I was that hungry, you know. And because I was on steroids, and I was going mad with the hunger.
Oh, yeah, the steroids really do up your appetite, don't they?
Yeah.
And so give us an idea. What would you be presented with for breakfast?
Breakfast in the morning, I was toast. So, you know, toast, brown bread, and a choice of your own cereals, whatever you wanted. Rice Krispies or cornflakes or the likes of that.
Okay, and lunch?
And lunch, then you'd get a cup of tea around 11 in the morning if you wanted to. And you could get, if you didn't want tea, you could get soup. They'd give you soup in the morning.
Right.
And lunch then, you'd have roast beef, chicken, with all the vegetables, all that. And plus your dessert, whatever you wanted for dessert. There was usually a choice of desserts as well.
And all hot and fresh? And
yeah, lovely. Yeah.
And then your tea?
Tea was cold meat salad. You could get the chips, sausages, beans, and egg.
Right.
And then you'd get a cup of tea, then with biscuits at, say, about 7:30 or whatever.
Right. Oh, I see here. You were in hospital for a long time, Seamus.
I was indeed, yeah. I was indeed. Unfortunately, I have a long-term illness, so I'm in and out.
Right. But this was not a problem for you. You're actually a good part of every day.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's Tullamore Hospital. Okay.
That's Tullamore, and the staff are very, very nice. Like, I told them I was hungry and I wasn't getting enough food, and they doubled up my portions.
Right.
They were that nice. They'd go to get you extra. If you wanted something extra, they'd go, just go down and get it for you. No issues at all.
So it was like being in a hotel for you.
Oh, it was. It was like being in a hotel for me. He's right, yeah. It was lovely. Now, I did it. I used to look forward to the food.
Right.
That's how nice it was, Keelan.
Okay. Yeah,
my mum actually, this is Gillian, my mum had not a great experience, obviously. She was in Mullingar Hospital 2 years ago, unfortunately. But the food there was amazing. I mean, yeah. I was there with mum during mealtimes and like that. If mum was hungry or wanted anything extra, they'd bring it to her. The food was piping hot. They'd get, like, tea and sandwiches at night before bed. I mean, anything she wanted.
And that's a big hospital, isn't it?
Yeah,
Mullingar.
That's a massive hospital, and they were a credit. Like, they were brilliant. The food was amazing. Mum never had a complaint about it. And neither did I, because I got a shock when I seen some of the food coming sometimes. I thought, oh, my God, it actually looked gorgeous.
Yeah, same.
It can be done.
Okay, so the message so far is, if you need to go to hospital, go to the Midlands. If you if you want to eat, the Midlands is the way to go. Where else do we go? Let me bring in Anne. Anne Tormey, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie, how are you? Thank you for the call.
Where were you in hospital?
I was in hospital in Cannes. I had hip replacement last year. I was trying to have it in Ireland, but there was a 9-month wait. Here there was a 2-week wait.
In France.
And I didn't have anybody to visit me or any fun, but I decided just go for it. The pain was terrible. But the food, I wanted to talk to you about the food. The way they organise it here, there are two hospitals and two clinics in Cannes, in the Cannes area. Now, when I say the Cannes area, I'm talking a 20-kilometre radius. So the food is done, not the breakfast. The breakfast was phenomenal. You got what you wanted. The breakfast was absolutely phenomenal every day. The food is cooked by a company for the two clinics and the two hospitals. And a different menu is arranged every day. And, of course, they have special food for people with special needs. I didn't have special needs. Hip replacement doesn't affect your appetite. So when it comes to the hospital, it's heated. It every patient's food is heated individually. I never saw a dessert in that hospital. Every dessert was a beautiful piece of seasonal fruit and a yogurt. You know, in my case, it was in September, it was all strawberries and raspberries and, you know, really like what you'd have at home.
Yeah, that kind of sounds like almost airplane food. The idea of it being
French gourmet restaurant food, and the portions were not particularly large, which is good when you're lying in bed and you can't move. Do you know what I mean? But lunch was a 2-course meal, and dinner was a 4-course meal.
Yeah, well, you were in France, of course, where they do regard food in a slightly different way to the rest of us.
Yeah, but this was a public hospital, Katie. It was a public hospital. It wasn't a private hospital.
Right.
Because I believe a friend of mine was recently in the matter private, and he said the food was phenomenal.
Yes, well, of course.
Absolutely phenomenal. Almost would go back there just for the food.
Right.
So, I rest my case in terms of... but it's stupid. I heard your statistic. I was helping out a little bit with the jabs today, locally. And we all got them here in January. I got mine in January. But, you know, I heard you say that 48% of the food is thrown out.
49%.
Well,
between 30-something and 49%, I think they reckoned was food waste.
Don't the people, doesn't the HSE and the people who manage the hospital see that?
Indeed.
Katie, that's your taxpayers' money. I pay my taxes in Ireland. That's the taxpayers' money.
Yes, where am I reading this from now? This is from August 2019. It says, the HSE has said it's committed to reducing food waste in Irish hospitals as research shows that up to 49% of food provided to patients is not eaten. Indeed. I mean, that is a huge waste and on all sorts of levels, obviously.
So, and I'll tell you something else. When you go into a public hospital, this is my first time in hospital in France, and my first time in hospital for many, many, many years, they come and ask you what you like and what you don't like, and are you allergic to anything before you get your first meal. And the breakfast is served. The breakfast was the best coffee. I can't even make the espresso as well at home. The best coffee and a hot croissant.
Okay.
Now, I'm not big into croissant. I prefer something a little less sweet. But it was just a delicious start to the day.
Absolutely. You're making me want to go to hospital in Cannes myself.
Come over here to go to hospital. No, but I just was so sad to listen to people. And also, I'll tell you something else. No visitors are allowed to bring in food. You cannot bring in food or flowers, books, yes, you know. And this is, not because of COVID, just no food because there might be bacteria in the food and the hospital might be blamed for making the patient ill or affecting their digestive system.
Okay, and as you know, as we were hearing from Gillian and Kelly, they say they're only surviving because of the food that they're bringing in themselves.
And look at the money they're spending.
Exactly. I mean what was Kelly saying there? Up to 200 euro.
I think one woman said 900.
Yeah, I was there for almost 4 months, so
that's Gillian,
a phenomenal amount. Yeah,
that's incredible.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, maybe I hate the gilets jaunes and I hate the way the French behave and they don't give a damn about COVID, but they speak up. We Irish have to speak up and say, you know, we're not going to accept this. We're paying our taxes, we're paying into health plans. We want edible food, hot.
Yeah.
Okay, but stay there. Irene, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie, how are you?
I'm good. You were in the Beacon Hospital.
Yeah, that's right, in December. And I'm vegetarian and... I thought being in a private hospital that the food would be top class, but it was absolutely disgusting. I sent you in some photographs of the meals that I was given. One consisted of a bowl of rice with a drizzle of soy sauce in it.
That was your lunch or your dinner?
That was my main meal, yeah. I sent you a photograph of that. And then another one was two of those, you know, those potato croquettes that you buy in a freezer packet.
Yeah.
Two of those with some peas and carrots, which tasted like they'd come out of a bag of frozen food as well.
God, that's like the bad old days before vegetarianism was recognised by the restaurants of Ireland, isn't it? Where you asked for a vegetarian meal and you got the vegetables that everyone else got and nothing else.
Yeah, well, I think it was even better back then, but it was just, I couldn't believe it. The food was just appalling. Like, and I was living off the yogurts, and I was storing the yogurts so that if I got hungry, and then one of the catering staff bought it, that I had some set aside, and he said I wasn't allowed to do that because of COVID restrictions. So that put a stop to that. But luckily,
I have them here. I have them. I've been sent in your the photo. Oh my God!
Yeah.
The bowl of rice is some. That was actually your meal. It's just literally a bowl of rice with a bit of soy sauce through it.
That's it. Yeah. That was just the worst I've ever seen.
The pasta, what's that green flex on the pasta?
I don't know, I never found out.
Right.
I just left it behind. It was dried up pasta with something, I don't know what, I don't even know what was put on it.
Though you were paying a lot of money to be where you were.
Well, that's what, and I assumed the food would be top class, but no, you're looking at the evidence there.
And did you give out about it at the time?
I didn't. I didn't feel in the best of form as it was. So I was just eating whatever fruit was there and yogurts, and I'd have a nibble of whatever just to see what it tasted like. But luckily, a friend of mine dropped in some lovely banana bread that she baked, and a few bags of goodies. So.
It kept you
going. My husband couldn't come over either, so I was just stuck with what I had there. So, was my experience at the private hospital, so it's not any better than public. Like, public probably sounds better.
Well, it depends on what hospital you're in, it seems, from what we're hearing today, that there is a big, big gap between the quality of food available, depending on what hospital you find yourself in. Let me bring in Joyce Timmins. Joyce, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Katie, how are you?
Good. You used to be a chef in a hospital.
I was the exec chef in the Rotunda Hospital for 2 years. I'm now the catering manager in Marymount Care Centre for our elderly.
And what was your attitude towards the food when you were the executive chef in the Rotunda?
Yeah, well, my attitude for the food was that it was to be nice, and it was tasty, it was nutritious, it was fresh, it was made on the day for the day, and served. And we had two choices for lunch, and we had two choices for tea time. There was salads available. If people wanted salads, they could have salads. But we had a vegetarian dish and a meat dish and condiments. Like, we'd have pickled cucumber, tzatziki with curries. Everything was complemented. Each garnish was complementing the dish, and it was all fresh. And there was a lot of passion that went into the food, and pride that went into the food. And I think that's even as important as the ingredients you're getting in. So you have to have a team that want to make the change and make a change.
Presumably you have to begin with, you have to have the proper budget for it.
You do, but every hospital, I would guarantee, is getting food from Palace or BWG.
These are the big mass catering companies.
Yeah, and they're getting the same chicken, they're getting probably the same mince, the same beef, same fish, you know. So it's not about the budget. I really don't believe it's about budgets. It's about caring and really believing in what you're doing, and that the food is there to help. Like, I don't necessarily believe it's medicine, but I do think it helps recovery, most definitely. And it gives you that few minutes of peace and a nice time for you at mealtime. Most people going into hospital dread food. Shouldn't be that way. And it's an easy fix, I believe.
Well, that's what Seamus was saying, of course, there, that he was in hospital for a long number of weeks, a long haul, and he found that those meals, which he really enjoyed, they were his break in the day. They were his...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What, was there a concerted effort, Joyce, when you were in the kitchen and in the rotunda to improve matters? And was there, you know, was this something that you were working on constantly? Was it a hospital policy?
Well, there was never an exec chef in the rotunda. So they obviously wanted to make that change and improve things. So that was, it wasn't necessarily a policy. It was what the team, the whole team, in the rotunda believed in. They wanted to give the best, and that's what we did. And we developed menus. We simplified the whole kitchen with menus. There was no difference between private food or public food, except they were served different plates. But everybody got the same food, and that was important to me as an exec chef and my team.
Were you ever in hospital yourself, Joyce?
I was in. The only time I was really in was for having my own daughter in a different maternity hospital. And my sister used to bring food up to me, and vice versa. I'd bring food up to her.
When were you executive chef in the rotunda, can I ask you?
2 years ago.
Because I can tell you, I had my own children in the rotunda, and I spent some time in hospital because of that. And I don't remember it being the most fantastic culinary experience of my life at that stage. Mm-hmm. But that's some years ago now.
Yeah. So, well, I'm happy to hear that I did improve things. So. I'll take that.
And you, I see you the food that you serve is even calorie counted.
You would put it through. We, most hospitals, HSE hospitals, use a system called Nutritix. And you put everything into that. You put your recipe, your everything, all your ingredients, your methods, your recipe, everything. And it will come out at the end and tell you everything, the nutritional value, the allergens that were in that dish, everything. So all hospitals should be using that. But I always believe that an exec chef team is needed within the HSE, and to tackle that and to go to each hospital and implement a four-week menu cycle. That every hospital is using the same menu, has been trained the same way, the same ingredients, the same plate up, everything is the same. And that team spends 3 weeks, a month with a hospital and then moves on. Now, the teams can be broken up so that you're covering the whole of Ireland. And then they backtrack after another month back to the first hospital to see how they're getting on, any questions, how's it going, and work with the team. You're not there to tell them what to do. You work with the team. And I think that's the way it should be done. Everything is costed. Everything is allergened, calorie counted, nutritional value, everything.
Okay. Okay, well, Joyce, we wish you luck in that mission. And it's obviously badly needed in some hospitals, not all. But we'll leave that one there and we'll take a break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.